This is Ryan.
And I am Nick.
And this is All Access Nerds, issue
19.
19, yes.
You know, I know I say it every week, but I'm impressed we are getting further along with our podcast numbers.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't make it past 7. I think 7, 10, and 20 are benchmarks.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, because, the next one is a nice little benchmark, which is cool. I mean, we need to work on like consistency a little more, you know, that way we can bring it out to you that way every 2 weeks or something like that. We want to make sure, because we've heard a lot of different podcasts talk about, you know, we'll do it daily, we'll send it out weekly, bi-weekly. But with ours and it mainly being like reviews and, you know, stuff that's coming out, previews and stuff, and news, it weighs heavy on the fact of like content actually having to come out. You know, there's some podcasts out there that can talk about different topics and, you know, but ours, it's a weekly basis kind of thing. So like, for instance, batching, like a lot of podcasters may or may not know this, but they're batch it, meaning that like on Monday, they'll record all their episodes for like, you know, a month or so, do the editing, and then send them out one at a time each week or whatever it may be. Man, we can't really do that. So,
yeah, as our content is,
it'll be outdated. Yeah.
Yeah. Almost the way it is now. It's outdated by the time we get it out.
Yes.
But we still enjoy doing it. We get some feedback every once in a while.
Yeah.
And we like that. So, we've gotten some positive and negative feedback.
Yeah.
Yep. But I look at it as creative criticism.
Yes.
So it just makes us better. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Every little bit helps. And another little benchmark for us, at least, this is our 1 year anniversary. We recorded our first episode, our premiere issue, on Thanksgiving of last year.
2015,
yes. Oh. So that's awesome.
Happy anniversary, my friend.
Yes, happy anniversary. It's a cool little thing to, you know, realize and be like, hey, sweet, we got an anniversary going on and have a lot more down the road.
Let's hope so. Well, let's move on to comics.
Yes.
Who should go first, you or I?
I see you have a pretty lengthy list there, so if you want, I can go ahead and tackle mine.
Tackle yours, and I'll draw lines through mine.
Yeah. For me, we'll hit the big one first, Civil War 2, issue 7. I mean, you can talk about it too, of course, but... Okay. I liked it. It was interesting. They've kind of changed up a little bit. The focusing on, at least on this issue, they focused more on three different subgroups. They followed Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and Captain America, Steve Rogers. There's a lot of Spider-Man, a lot of Captain America. So you gotta, you know, make sure we know which one's which. So Steve Rogers and Miles Morales, they were at the Capitol Hill, and they're like, hey, I know this is where I'm supposed to kill you, but it's not gonna happen. You know that. I know that. You're not going to die. I'm not going to kill you.
Yeah, both the heroes showed up at pretty much the same time. It was kind of odd.
Yeah. And I think it was because Miles Morales showed up, and then the fact that he got news coverage and people starting to freak out, that's when Captain America showed up. Yeah, so it showed them, and it showed Ulysses and Old Man Logan in some kind of premonition, future something. It's hard to tell because his powers keep developing more and more, Ulysses says. And then there is the group of the Inhumans and the, as they call, the royal family of the Queen and her little posse.
Her royal court.
Yes, yeah. So, and for me, I said at the beginning, still not a fan of the Inhumans. So we'll see, maybe by the end of this next event, I think it's X-Men versus the Inhumans. Hmm. Maybe that might bring me around to them. I don't know. But yeah, I'm still not a fan of them. So
Marvel's trying their hardest to dig them out of the crevices of the pages of the 70s and 80s of Marvel Comics to bring them to the forefront. Because, you know, they've touched the Inhumans topic in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And there's supposed to be an Inhumans movie, but I haven't seen any release dates on it.
Yeah, got pushed back. Yeah.
It could be one of those to-be-determined Marvel movies.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're still trying to keep them, trying to build the fan base, I think they are. Yeah,
not working for me, at least. I've never been a fan of them. I forgot, I think it was Original Sin, whenever Nick Fury killed the Watcher. I think that was one of their first starting points of trying to really push it. And it was just like, nah, it's not happening. And once they realized that they lost the X-Men, the movies, Disney decided, hey, you know, let's go ahead and make our own little X-Men and not be the Inhumans. And then it's not really working out for them. They aren't really a fan following like there should be by now. So, there was a movie slated, I think it was for 2020, and then it got pushed back. So, yeah, now it's under that to be determined title. Yeah, for me, not really my thing yet. So yeah, that was Civil War 2, issue number 7. That's my little 2 cents on it. Do you have anything to add? That's your no. thoughts? And
no, because I read issue 8.
Issue 8?
I read...
The most recent one, 7.
No, yeah. 7 was the most recent one. You're right. That's right. Okay. I was thinking for some reason you were reading 6. But
oh, okay. No. Six. Yeah, I read 6 before, yeah. That one was not very lackluster. I think both of them, 6 and 7 now, didn't have any action in it.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing. Well, there was some action in 7.
In 7?
Yeah,
there. Yeah, okay, yes, yeah, at the very end, yeah, with the very end.
Our two heroes go to blows.
Yeah, yeah. So. They've been fighting for a while, but spoiler alert.
You go ahead.
Yeah, Captain Marvel, the lady, and Iron Man were fighting at the end. You know, they were punching each other, throwing and kicking, blasting. It looked like at the very end it was still, they were still fighting. So issue 8 will then pick up with them fighting, I'm assuming.
Now, issue 8 is supposed to be the conclusion. But didn't we hear this supposed to be an issue 9?
Yeah, originally it was supposed to be an 8-issue title, or 8-issue event, and then they prolonged it to 9. And they said that a while back. And because they did the same thing with Secret Wars, I think it was, the most recent one of 2016. Yeah. It was supposed to be 8 issues or something like that. And they decided to make it another one. So, yeah, I think they're doing 9 for this one.
Because at the end of issue 8, it says...
7.
7, I'm sorry, my bad. At the end of issue 7, it says issue 8 to be concluded.
Okay.
Instead of being to can be continued, it says to be concluded.
Hmm.
Which I guess we'll wait and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe they might even know. Because, from my understanding, it was originally supposed to end in December and then the next event start in January. Mm-hmm. But I think if they still have, because there was an announcement before that it was going to be 9 issues. So if they're going to stick with that. Then, it won't be until January, until it wraps up. But we'll see. We'll stand by and see what happens. There's a lot to happen, if so, or nothing at all. So we'll see how they tie it together.
Yeah, it's not been my favorite story arc for Marvel Comics. I'm not sure what's going on with it. It hasn't really impressed.
Yeah, I think that if I was to read more of the tie-in issues, I would like it a little bit more, but I haven't really gotten into them. There seems to be a lot. And it wasn't just like a one-shot, two-shot here and there that can pick up. Yeah, it interwove inside of several issues of several titles. So,
well, that keeps them, that makes them want you want to buy more. What you missed.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
So that was for me. AD, it was a, I think it was another one that you wanted to talk about as well. But yeah, same kind of thing. I think it's, just AD After Death, I think it was called. Jeff Lemire. And Scott Snyder actually co-collaborating on it. It's been getting pretty good reviews, as you would assume. You know, it's not like they're going to be really good on their own, but if they come together, it's going to be really bad. No, it's really good. A lot of people liking it. It's like a guy, and I guess this world, people have found the cure for death. And so there's one guy, and he doesn't really like that. He's knows the fact that, hey, humans are supposed to actually die at some point. Like, it's not going to be a good thing. So it should be pretty interesting to see how the actual title comes out and what it kind of develops into. But yeah, so far so good. If you like Jeff Lemire, if you like Scott Snyder, definitely check out AD.
That's a, I guess you can call it an oversized book.
Yeah.
It's between the size of a comic book and the size of a magazine.
Yeah,
It's a little bit bigger than normal.
Yeah, a little sticker binding on it and everything, yeah.
I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I will. I didn't put that on my list to talk about, which is fine.
Yeah.
Because you covered it, and that's good. I am looking forward to it. That was when the gal at the comic book store recommended for me. She said, this is really good. And I'm like, all right, I'll take your judgment on it. It's only $6, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's a Image comic, so it's one of the indie books there. Yeah. If you still want to call Image comics being indie, but technically it is. Yeah, it's gotten a lot of good reviews, and I would say if you like that kind of thing of, I wouldn't say post-apocalyptic yet, because so far there's no apocalypse, but yeah, it's just the fact of the guy settling with his immortality and how the world is going to, be impacted by this.
I think that'd be a bad idea. To find a cure for death is overpopulation.
Yeah.
You're running out of resources.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it would turn ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be good, could be bad. Yeah. I think overall, the chances of it turning out bad is higher than the chances of it turning out good. Because if everyone pulls their own weight and then some, absolutely, it should be good. Like, if everyone works for each other and picking up each other's slack, then yes, that's utopia. That's all great. That's perfect. That's paradise. But unfortunately, people don't do that. People slack off. People steal from each other. So yeah, it'd be rough if that actually did happen.
You know, if you ever think about it, if you think about the wars in the history,
yeah,
the diseases that have knocked out thousands and millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
If those people had lived, I mean, even something as simple as the bubonic plague,
mm-hmm.
if those people had lived, they would have had families. They mm-hmm. would have had children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And it would have, we have more than, what, almost 7.5 billion people now.
Yeah.
It could be 15 billion.
Yeah, yeah. I was reading an article. It was, oh, goodness, it was a long time ago. And I'm just now rethinking about it now since we're talking about this. But yeah, there was somebody who projected, and I forgot what it was, but there was something along those lines of something that happened a long time ago. And just the effect of how time can compound, especially when talking about population and having kids and those kids growing up having kids and just the multiplication factor of it. And it was, I forgot what event it was, but there was some event way in the past. It wasn't anything too controversial. So they're not talking about, like, if, you know, World War II never happened or if Hitler never happened. It wasn't anything like that. They weren't trying to be anything crazy like that. But yeah, and they were talking about how, like, yeah, something that small will stem out and it would be, yeah, somewhere along the lines of like 12 billion just for a small event that happened, like, you know, 1800s, 1700s.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So,
it's just, yeah, it's unimaginable.
But comic books.
All right.
Talk about.
Sorry to digress.
Less, more fictional things. See, there was one more comic, and I forgot. Oh, Invincible Iron Man issue number one, featuring whatever you want to call it, Ironheart, I guess. I didn't see actually in the book them name her that. Real name is Riri Williams, and she's just young. Teenager, 15 years old or so, maybe.
Yeah, 15 or 16.
Yeah, pretty young. And
which I think you and I briefly talked about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little older, so I don't get into the younger heroes,
mm-hmm.
but I can see for marketing purposes, you grab that teenage base where somebody can relate to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll let you finish talking about it. Go ahead.
It's the younger age demographic that they're trying to grab with that, for sure. I mean, maybe some of the fans of Iron Man from the past, because there's still going to be Tony Stark. They interwove him in there. And
actually, it's just an AI.
Yeah, yeah. Spoiler alert. Yeah, so yeah, he's an AI. Throughout the issue, he's fighting this no-name villain, and she's struggling with, like, a Google search, essentially. She's got some supercomputer built into her suit. It seemed like, I don't know if she inherited it or...
No, she built it. She's really smart.
Okay.
I think she could read Richards a run for his money.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that she was, like, building stuff and whatnot when she was really young, so I just couldn't tell if she made that or if it was inherited. So yeah, probably that one she made, and the next one will probably be inherited by Tony Stark, because it looks like an actual Iron Man suit, and her resources actually weren't kind of there. Because, yeah, now you see throughout the comic, spoiler alert, her stepdad and her best friend get killed just at some kind of cookout get together in the neighborhood. Yeah, it's just like a couple stray bullets.
Yeah, random violence.
Yeah, it looked like, because you can see in the background of the issue, and it looked like a couple of panels and maybe a drug dealer or something, because there was somebody in a car and there's a bunch of people gather around the car, and then there was a little commotion in the background, and then all of a sudden that happens. And yeah, and I so I was like, why did they have to die? They didn't have to die. There's no need for that. Like, I was...
Well, it's things like that or make defining moments for our hero.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't know. I wanted this one to be different among all the other ones. But we'll see. I like the fact that in the issue they talked about, there was a doctor early on in her life that, like, told her parents, hey, she's not acting up because, you know, she's trying to get attention or she's trying to just be rebellion. No, she's just bored. She's a super genius. And so we see a lot of these people grow up and they become disconnected and they don't want to deal with people. They realize society and they get smart enough at a really early age and see, you know, the negative side of society really quick. So they tend to become not so, like, the best of people of Raw for society. So they're like, keep telling her that the world is good. It's a good day, like, you know, whatever. So I guess every day her dad said that. So that's cool. That's cool. There's optimism in the book.
Yeah, you know, apparently her parents and the doctor were afraid that she'll be become a supervillain of some kind. Yes.
Yeah.
Evil genius.
Yeah. So I like it. We'll see what happens with some future stuff. And yeah, at the very end, because she's struggling with an AI because her computer is not fast enough, a search engine or whatever, and the AI gets delivered to her, and it's Tony Stark that he created himself to be an AI. So we'll see what happens. I think there's something in Civil War, maybe he dies or something. I don't know. It's hard to tell. So yeah, those are a few issues that I read. Yeah, I need to catch up on a lot more, but there's a game that came out recently, so that kind of took up some of my time. We'll talk about that here shortly. But comic books, what'd you read this week and a couple weeks, Nick?
Well, I picked up Trinity issue number 3. I understand that they're trying to build a relationship between Clark and Wonder Woman and Batman, or Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman. They're trying to build that Trinity, to make that bond. So they're each going through their own little story. They're kind of been kidnapped right now, being held against their will, and they're having dreams that are interwoven together. And so they're having experiences as a three.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand the whole concept behind it. They're trying to build the Trinity. So issue number 3, I really wasn't impressed. It was more wrapped around Batman this time.
Yeah.
Whereas the first one was wrapped around, or issue number 2 was wrapped around Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm going to have to assume that the next one's going to be Wonder Woman.
Yeah, could be. If so, not, that's not nice. Just skip over Wonder Woman.
Picked up Suicide Squad issue number 6. This one mainly circles around Harley Quinn. The prisoners are all at their prison where they belong, and Amanda Waller had them confiscate or steal, I guess you call it a prison.
Mm-hmm.
It's a phantom zone, a bubble.
Ah, okay.
That has General Zod in it.
That's not good.
Well, there's so much evil in this that it's causing the guards and the other inmates to get more evil.
Hmm.
It almost brings them to the opposite of how their personality really is. It's kind of hard to explain.
Hmm.
It's like the inmates are, some of them are okay, and then they do stupid stuff, and they're savages, and they're fighting amongst each other. The guards lose their mind. Harley Quinn does a complete turnaround, where she's a very smart doctor. She's just, the whole craziness is gone, and she's normal. So that's how that one ends. Thanos number 1. It looks like they're trying to get Thanos to the forefront for the upcoming Marvel movies, the Guardians of the Galaxy and the Avengers Infinity Gauntlet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Infinity War.
And movies, one and two. So, sorry, Thanos number 1. Thanos has been gone for a while. He comes back to his little corner of the galaxy, and he takes over his little realm again. And so they're building that character up.
Does he have the gauntlet at this point?
No. And the nice thing we find out is that Thanos is dying.
Ah.
He's a god. He's a titan. But he's dying, so we'll find out more about that later. Superman number 11 was a Batman crossover with the kids.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
They're trying to teach the kids to get along, to fight together instead of against each other. It was an okay story. Again, it's stories for a younger crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. It was okay, though. It has potential. I haven't given up yet. Superwoman number 4, I think it was my last issue. I can't hang on to Superwoman anymore.
No.
No. Lana Lang and her superpowers that are killing her slowly. And the whole Lex Luthor crossover. This is, I'm done. That's what I'm up to cancel. Next I have Daredevil issue number 13. I like the Daredevil books, but this is starting to struggle with this one. He's got a sidekick called Blindspot. And Blindspot and Daredevil are chasing a bad guy. And the bad guy breaks into a courtroom and steals the judge and the district attorney and some other people. It's silly. It's a silly story. It really is. The bad guy they're after, Muse, is he kills people and then takes their blood and makes paintings with them. Does art with them.
Hmm. That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it is. But it's a story. All-Star Batman issue number 4. He's still dragging Two-Face to wherever he's taking him and getting attacked by all kinds of no-name to little-name villains, getting captured. So that's still going on. Jessica Jones, issue number 2. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you talked about issue 1 and you liked it a lot.
Yeah, I was very fond of it.
Awesome.
In this issue, we do find that Jessica Jones and Luke Cage did get married and had a kid.
Okay.
And she went to jail for some reason. They haven't really said why. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's tying with the TV show where she killed Purple Man.
No, okay.
But she said she did something that pissed off all the superheroes. So she was in jail for a little while. Now she's out. Her mom had her daughter kept away, hidden someplace so nobody could find her.
Hmm.
And then we get to see Jessica and her daughter get reunited. Luke Cage is pissed off. He wants to know where his daughter is. She's not telling him.
Oh.
So that's a good storyline. Action Comics 967. That one has Superman and Lex Luthor almost teaming up together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See a lot of the cover issues, and it looks like that, kind of. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. It's hard to tell exactly. So still going on with that, I guess.
Yeah, it's there's still distrust on both parts. We have Amazing Spider-Man number one, Renew Your Vows. This one kind of has an alternate Peter Parker and Mary Jane. They're married, have a kid. I'm thinking this came from an alternate universe at the end of the Secret Wars. They got thrown together. I don't think there's another Spider-Man, but I think when the Secret Wars closed up and all that, everything got rearranged, that he was married to Mary Jane and they have a daughter. The daughter has superpowers. She's a mutant.
Ah.
She's very smart. I don't think she's as smart as Riri. Rai-Rai?
Nah, I think it's Riri.
Riri? I don't know. I don't think she's as smart as her, but she's very smart. Has powers, agility, and her parents are trying to keep her kind of suppressed. Hey, when you're at school, you can't use your powers. So the Renew Your Vows is a good storyline. Those little dips into the little Peter Parker's family. Let's see what else we got. About the Clone Conspiracy number two. It's a good storyline. Apparently, the main villain in here, the Jackal, has brought back all of Superman's dead enemies.
Really? Yes. Well, you mean Spider-Man.
What did I say?
Superman.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's been a long day.
Yes.
So apparently the Jackal has brought back all of Spider-Man's dead enemies.
Okay, gotcha.
That makes more sense.
But yeah, yeah. I was like, whoa, that's a crossover.
Yeah. He takes Spider-Man into a room, and you've got two dozen villains that have been killed.
Oh, goodness.
That are there, and none of them are trying to kill him, so we'll see how that goes. He's not very happy with those villains coming back to life. And they're dependent on the Jackal. Once a day, they have to take this pill.
Hmm.
If they don't take this pill, they basically kind of start decomposing.
Oh, wow.
That's his way of controlling them. So we have Mosaic number two. Mosaic, as you remember, is Inhuman. A new Inhuman, that his essence can go into different bodies.
Yeah.
He takes over that body and nobody can tell the difference. So issue number two, he's still trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I think I read that one. It was okay.
Yeah.
They keep talking about how, like, he can, you know, jump into, like, superheroes' bodies and whatnot. But, like, I don't think we've seen that yet.
No.
No, yeah, because it was issue one, didn't really happen. Issue two, it still didn't happen, but they keep talking about it, like, it's a thing.
Well, Spider-Man's supposed to get tapped here eventually. So hopefully that'll be interesting. It'll be interesting because he'll find out who Spider-Man really is.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Because he can look at people's memories. The last guy he was in was a paramedic. He started thumbing through his memories. He's like, well, wait a minute. Oh, you were saved by Steve Rogers or by Captain America back when a Kree war?
Yeah.
Kree, not Kree. Scroll. Kree, scroll? Kree?
I don't know.
It's both. It's two different aliens. Got the Skrulls and the Kree. It was a war. And Captain Rogers, Captain America, saved this guy.
Hmm.
And so this guy, he was in awe of his presence. He was like, man, it's such a commanding person. Mm-hmm. Captain America is just a real go-getter. He's not fake. He's not phony.
Yeah.
So he started working out, joined the army, became a ranger. Didn't work out for him. He got kicked out. But he still tried to lead a good life.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. So anyway, moving on. Infamous Iron Man number two. Now, Infamous Iron Man number one is where Dr. Doom decides to take up the mantle of Iron Man.
Hmm.
And in issue two, we find there's a lot of people that don't agree with him taking up the Iron Man armor.
Mm-hmm.
And he still uses magic, and he actually vanquishes, and he kills a couple villains. But he gave them a chance, and they still tried to do him in. At the end of issue number one, Ben Grimm, who we know as the Thing from the Fantastic Four, says he's had enough. He's going to hunt down Dr. Doom. Well, he finally finds Dr. Doom at the end of issue number two. And it was he just kind of like knocks him down, like, we need to talk, or you're coming back with me. It was just dumb. It was like, come on. I waste the whole issue waiting for this battle.
And nothing. They got to lead up to the next one. Yeah. So the next book.
Next sales. Uncanny Avengers, number 16. Last time we had a podcast, I believe I talked about how the Hand was bringing back, they sold the body of Bruce Banner to bring back the Hulk.
Yeah.
So they can control him. Allegedly, they've reanimated the Hulk. They've let him loose before he got loose, before they could finish their control, getting the control over him. So he's just a wild rage monster.
Oh, wow.
We haven't actually seen this. This is the Hulk. You see a green, kind of a green body. It's got clothing tore all over it. It's got tore clothing. It's got a Japanese mask.
Okay.
So we actually haven't seen the Hulk, but they tell you it's the Hulk, but we haven't actually seen him.
Okay.
And he's just rampaging through the city in the river of Japan. And right now he's headed towards some area. There's a nuclear reactor, and so they got to stop him.
Hmm.
So it's good. I'm anxious to see what happens with that. And let's see. Here's one I wasn't very happy about. Batman, Rebirth Batman, issue number one of the director's cut.
Yeah.
I thought, wow. But it was $6, $5.99.
Yeah.
Thick book. And all it is, it's issue number one of the Rebirth Batman. So this particular one, this director's cut, is the actual issue number one of the ongoing title of Batman from the Rebirth. Only this is just sketches.
Just sketches.
It's only sketches.
Okay.
And there's a little bit, it's a little thicker because there's a little more talking about things, explaining things, and some interviews. But I thought it was a special book. It is a special book. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's, I already got it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I've got the one I bought. I've got a free one over here on the shelf that was given to me at some comic book convention, and it says free on it. So I was like, come on. So I was a little disappointed that I wasted $6 on that monster.
Yeah. I was pretty sure that's how the director's cut worked. I haven't picked one up yet, but I've seen them, and all the ones that I see, I already own, because usually it's, they only do the director cut stuff, like the big issues. Like they did it for, I think, Justice League, and they've done it for The Flash, and they've done it for Batman, obviously. Like the ones that I already want, I've already got already. But it's, I mean, it's kind of cool, the fact of like, it's also kept up with value. Like there are a limited run of those, and the fact that it's right there at $6. So you know that it's going to be relatively that price. It's not going to drop down to like, you know, a buck or so. The odds of finding those in the $1 bin at some, you know, back issue box in a comic book shop is less. That's kind of what it boils down to. It's not a guarantee that's going to be, you know, $50-$60 in a couple of years, but it is at least something special, something different. But yeah, if you already have it and you're not a fan of just the sketches and you don't really care about all the behind the scenes stuff, then yeah.
That's me.
I don't really care. Waste your money.
But I will take time. I'm all to read. Caught up with the rest of my stuff, I'll go back and take time and I'll read some of the articles.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read the interviews, because it's always nice to see the artists and the storytellers and the pencilers, their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions that go into writing these books.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, it's not just sitting down scribbling out some characters. There's passion.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So speaking of passion, a couple little things. I'm almost done here.
No problem.
I am looking forward to January, when they come out with a 6-issue miniseries of Batman 66 meets Wonder Woman 77.
Yes, yeah. I think that was New York Comic Con they announced that. And a lot of people were like pretty excited about that, because it was surprisingly as well, because we've had the Wonder Woman 1977 style and the Batman 1966 style. And the same artist, it's like the artist for each of those books came together, and at least for like the advertised art, maybe even the cover pages, it looks just like that, which is pretty cool.
I'm pretty sure they stopped doing the Batman 66 books.
Yeah, I think those kind of just, yeah. They may have been a limited series from the get-go, but yeah, I'm pretty sure they stopped those as well.
I knew they did a crossover Batman 66 meets somebody else, or I forget who, maybe I Spy, or I don't know, it was some weird thing.
Yeah, there was some kind of crazy crossovers.
British TV shows.
Yeah.
So last thing, two last things here. I picked up Green Lantern. I'm sorry, DC's Universe Rebirth, issue number one of Green Lanterns, with a CGC grade on it, 9.6.
Nice. Yeah, so, slabbed and everything. Yeah, I like it. Looks pretty
cool. Got that in my collection. And now my new pride and joy, my Vigilante got replaced.
Yeah.
I still have it, but my new pride and joy is my Spider-Man issue number one. CGC graded. What is it? 9.8 there.
Yeah.
Signed by none other than Stan Lee. And see what the second signature was?
Yeah, Todd McFarlane.
There we go. So I got two signatures in that book. That's going to be my, I'm going to keep that sucker lock and key. So my personal collection is building slowly.
Yes, yeah. Looks like it's like one of the 90s issues, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was probably volume 2, Spider-Man issue number 1 or something like that. It looks like it'd be cool if it was like, you know, Amazing Spider-Man issue number 1. Yeah, yeah, signed by them. Todd McFarlane would be like, why am I signing this? Well, this, yeah, this wasn't even alive yet.
Yeah, this is the reboot, and this is the gold cover.
Okay.
I already got a silver one up there on the wall. Now I got the gold one up there. So, nice, well, that's all I have for comic book.
Yeah, that's all I got as well. For me, I'm excited for the Justice League Power Ranger crossover coming up in a few months. I'm excited for the Justice League versus Suicide Squad event that they're doing. And I'm excited for the Marvel event as well. I'm keeping a positive outlook on it for, I think it's Death of X, which is pretty cool, I guess. I think it's going on right now. I need to catch up on it. But so, yeah, it's like a very Cyclops-driven book. And then there's going to be the X-Men versus Inhumans. So I'll keep an open mind. I'll try not to hate the Inhumans right off the bat. But we'll see. I mean, they're going up against like Nightcrawler and Gambit, who are like a couple of my favorite people in Marvel Comics. So we'll see what happens. But I'll keep at least an open mind. But yeah, that's all I have for comics as well. If you want, we can lead from comics into TV shows. Because I know we watch a lot of the comic book related TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
Like Flash and Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl.
Come get some.
So I'm not caught up on Legends of Tomorrow or Supergirl yet. I missed those two, but I at least saw Flash and Arrow all the way through this week. It was a Flash episode. It was fantastic. I loved it. It was great. It was emotional. It was the issue, or it was the episode directed by Kevin Smith. So that's pretty exciting. And it's the Killer Frost, like, featured episode. Like, it was the main focus.
Yeah, she, Snow finally loses her mind there.
Yeah. She was warned in last episode, or the episode before last. I wish I knew the numbers, but I keep watching them all too much that I can't keep track of the numbers. But yeah, so she was warned by her mom. She got some tests done, and her mom's like, well, this is like, it's a compounding thing where the more you use it, the more you're going to lose control over it. So you need to stop if you want to keep control over your powers, over what's happening to you. And spoiler alert, the Flash goes up against Salvatore, this new guy that we see, and claims to be the god of speed. And he's going up against him, and there's nothing else that they can do. They've lost all of their options. They have no other options. And so Vibe teleports them, which is pretty cool to see him do that, because in the comics he can, especially in the New 52. They teleport Vibe, Cisco Ramon teleports him and Caitlin Snow to the fight. She uses her powers like maximum force and stops the guy for a little bit. He runs off. Because this Salvatore guy, he's faster than Flash. Like, he's speeding around, and Barry Allen is trying to speed as well, and he is not even remotely, he's like a human compared to the Flash. Like, he's double, if not triple, the amount of speed that he's got. So, yeah, it's a tough fight for him, for sure. Yeah,
at one point, he's dragging Flash around the city.
Yeah.
And Cisco is sitting back there at the headquarters.
Yep.
And he's like, I understand this. It says the system's malfunctioning. It says that Barry is in like four places at one at the same time.
Yeah, because he's moving so quick. And even though his sensors are with satellite stuff pretty quick, so you can keep an eye on the Flash, it's too quick for him.
Yeah,
it's
this
too
guy's quick for got satellite, more so. Power. This guy's got a lot of different powers that Barry does not have, not even close.
Yeah, we've heard that. I think it was one of the writers was talking about that, one of the producers, and the character's going to stick around for a little bit. It's not like a one-shot thing and he's done. He's going to be back for sure. But this episode definitely focused more on Killer Frost, because once she used her power, she started, you know, becoming this Killer Frost character that she hears about and she keeps seeing and whatnot, and who is from a different Earth and time travel, multiverse stuff. But so she's worried she's going to become this evil villain. And because she's worried about it, she's starting to become this evil villain. So, it's good, though. I'm excited for it. I liked it a lot.
And she goes on search of Dr. Alchemy, who at the end of the episode, we find out his identity.
Yeah.
And we're not going to release it.
Yeah.
You have to watch it.
We'll wait a couple of days or so. Maybe next
issue. We were sitting there watching it like, you know what? I bet you so-and-so.
Yeah.
Right? Sure enough.
Yep. If you have a guess of who it might be, there's a good chance you're right. Yeah. I'll just say that. Yeah. But if you haven't watched The Flash, go watch The Flash right now. We're two seasons in, two and a half seasons. This is season three. So go watch it now. Catch up on it. It's great. It's awesome. Definitely worth it.
Yeah, if you're not watching The Flash, we need to revoke
the nerd card.
Yeah. I mean, that's
the call for. It's a great show. Like, I have a friend of mine who's a huge fan of Marvel Comics, really harsh on movies and TV shows as it is. And he's like, The Flash, it's good. There's some weird, like, time travel stuff and paradoxal stuff. But, you know, once he gets over that a little bit, he's like, it's a great show. It really is an awesome superhero comic book TV show. And so I was super excited to hear that because he's really harsh on movies. And it's understandable why he is. He's, you know, he likes his content to be worth the time, worth the money. So, yeah, Flash, fantastic. Arrow, oh, man, Arrow's another one that is just knocking out the park. I love Arrow as well. It seems like The Flash, yeah, they're doing really good at, like, you know, introducing new heroes and villains all the time, which is cool. But it seems like Arrow is kind of doing it, like, double the amount of speed about it. You know, like, here's five new heroes and villains that you know about in the DC comic universe, like
the Vigilante.
Yes.
I was literally sitting on the sofa like, yes, yes, there he is, yes. Like, wait, what's he doing? Oh, it sucks. But yes, he's here.
Yeah, he looked really good, like very similar to what the comic books have.
Pretty close.
Yeah, and I liked it a lot. And I would assume you'd like that because I knew that you were a fan of Vigilante and he was coming up. And so, yeah. And I was wondering if they're going to reveal in that issue or in that episode who Vigilante is, and I'm surprised that they did. They did, right?
No. They'll string it on for a few episodes, yeah.
Oh, they did?
No, they did not, because the arrow had the Vigilante trapped.
Ah, yes.
He started reaching for his mask. There was explosion.
Yes, okay. Yeah. I guess at that point, I was like, yes, they're going to reveal it. This is going to be great. And then he got away. Yeah, I forgot. Dang on it. Yeah, and it's actually the fact, like, when we first saw it, the other guy, Prometheus, the other archer that we see terrorizing Star City. And then all of a sudden we see that it's Captain Lance, that something. He's politics now. What's he?
Deputy mayor.
Deputy mayor?
Second in line of the mayor.
Okay, gotcha, yeah. So he's there. He's like head of police and chief for something, chefs and things.
But he's a drunk.
Yeah, so he's a drunk as well. And it gets revealed at the end of one of the episodes that he's the villain. Like, he blacks out and he's the villain. And then we start seeing that may not be true, because he doesn't have these skills and abilities that Prometheus is showing. But we also haven't seen them both in the same place at the same time. So it could be. But yeah, this last episode, they're at least trying to throw us off the trail that it could be him.
Keeping us guessing.
Yeah, because, like, he thinks, like, no, there's no way I'm doing it. Like, it's not me. He's just trying to frame me for it. Why is he trying to frame me for it? And all this stuff. So yeah, it's another awesome, love it, love, love, love it, great show. And Legends of Tomorrow, yeah, unfortunately, I'm not caught up on that one. It's, from what I saw from the trailer, it's Jonah Hex, so they're going back in the past.
Yep, bringing Jonah Hex back, which is cool.
Do you have anything else to comment about it?
No, I'm not going to ruin it for you.
Okay.
Or ruin it for other people, I'm not going to ruin it for you.
Appreciate it. And Supergirl, another one I haven't caught up on yet.
I missed recording that one past week, so
okay.
I don't
know. So we both missed out on it. Okay, I feel okay about that. But at least from the previous episode, previous week, when we see the Guardian, I was pretty excited about that. James Olsen. They're not really calling him Jimmy too much, but James Olsen is becoming a hero, and I'm excited because he's one of the many favorite heroes that I have in the comic books, especially because in the comic books he's really, really inspired by Superman, and now it's Supergirl, which is cool. But yeah, he's like, you know, that's what Superman set out to be, is an inspiration for people to follow in his footsteps and to not, you know, turn to evil and see that, hey, if this guy can do it, I can do it too. Like, I can help out in some way, somehow.
Yeah, I can get my butt kicked. Let me go ahead and try to do this.
So, yeah, but yeah, Guardian is one of them. And this is all kinds of different titles and storyline that happened with it. He was in the Teen Titans issues, in the New 52, I think, in the second volume of the New 52 Teen Titans. But he's in there. It's pretty cool. I like him a lot. And it should be interesting to see what happens with him. I don't think... Here's my prediction. I don't think he's ever going to get any superpowers. I hope he doesn't, because now in the comic books, he usually doesn't. He's kind of dipped into, like, what do you call it? Like, not steroids, but some serums to kind of, like, help him with his some strength and yeah. But it gets kind of in close because he's got a lot with the shield, like in the Guardian, in the comics, he always has that shield that he brought up in his arm bracelet thing. It was the big giant parasite creature was coming down on him, which is also cool to see parasite there. He was like swinging down on him, and then all of a sudden the shield popped out. Well, in the comic books, he always has that shield. A lot of people weren't too happy when he started dipping into super soldier serums with a shield. So,
because that's funny that you say that, because in one of the episodes mm-hmm. of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV, Coulson had a shield that popped out of his wristwatch or something.
Really?
Yeah. It was like a digital force field
almost. Okay, yeah.
It was something new. We've never seen it before. Okay. It was something totally new for them.
Huh.
But anyway.
But yeah, so all the TV shows, I'm loving it. I got the on-demand versions, the download versions of The Magicians. It's a show I started watching on Sci-Fi. It was about 4 or 5 episodes. And now the full season's out, and I see advertisements like, you know, watch it all now. And so I went ahead and dialed them that way. I'm excited for it. I liked the first couple episodes that they had, and it was one of the good Sci-Fi channel shows that I like. So I'm excited to catch up on that. What about you for TV shows?
Well, TV shows, I did finish watching Luke Cage.
Ah, yes, Luke Cage, yes.
I was a little disappointed on how it ended.
Really?
But
what's that?
Now he gets hauled off back to jail.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That was kind of a disappointment, but
yeah,
I understand they have to kind of leave. For him to move forward,
yeah,
they have to get that wrapped up.
Yeah.
If not, he's going to be a criminal on the run.
Yeah.
So I understand that, and I have been watching Westworld.
Ah, see, I have those episodes. I'm ready, queued up to watch. I have not started yet. I need to. I keep hearing everybody talking about it.
Yeah, I just finished watching episode 10.
Episode 10. Wow, okay.
I even went back so far and rewatched the movie from back in the 70s.
Yes, yeah, I've heard about that.
There's nothing compared to the two of them.
Yeah.
There's no
link. Besides the name.
Yeah, there's no link connection except for, you're right, the name. There's robots dressed up as cowboys and Indians, if you will.
Ah.
This one's a little, the TV show on HBO is a little more racy.
Yeah, it's HBO, so.
Actually has nudity, whereas I don't think the movie had any. It had like a butt cheek, that's about it. Well, this one, of course, if you've watched, it's not for younger children, younger viewers.
So TV ratings, if you have children
do apply.
So, yeah, I've heard it's really good. The acting in it, storyline, special effects, all the good stuff is awesome. So that's what I wanted to check it out for. Because a lot of people talk about the same thing with Game of Thrones when it first came out. And it's also racy and whatnot. But hopefully, you know, with Westworld, it will do the same thing with Game of Thrones, in which it will die down a lot. Because in the most recent seasons, it's not as bad when it first started.
Yeah, when it first started, everybody was humping. Everybody was blinking. It was crazy.
Come on. You don't need all that junk. Let's get some good storyline. Yeah. So, yes, TV shows, Westworld. Yep.
Last thing I have is, I know I mentioned before that Netflix is going to be coming out with Lost in Space TV show.
Yeah.
Looks like that's going to be released in 2018.
Ugh.
And amongst their casting that they have done, they have cast a woman for Dr. Zachary Smith. Of course, I don't think her name's going to be Zachary, but it is Dr. Smith.
Okay.
A Parker Posey.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Will be Dr. Smith. So they've already cast Professor Robinson, his wife, and I forget who else.
Because isn't that the same actress who's going to be the Doctor Who, his companion? That's the most recent, right?
I don't think so.
I think so.
I got my phone turned off.
Yeah, go look it up.
Parker Posey was in Superman number 2.
Oh, Superman, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it was a much younger girl.
Yeah.
Okay. So, never mind then.
I forget what she looks like. But that's, that comes out in 2018 as they get more information on that. I'll make sure I pass it on. So, and you're bringing up Parker Posey now?
Nope, not her. Okay. Then it's not the Doctor's companion.
Yeah, totally different.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
And that's all I have for TV shows.
Yeah, I'd say for me, pretty much the same. I am super excited for this week, starting Monday, November 28th, with Supergirl. They're going to have the start of the CW DC Universe 4-part crossover event. And it's going to be exciting. If you haven't caught up on the shows, binge watch them nonstop today, nonstop Friday, nonstop Saturday, leading up to Monday night. when they have Supergirl coming out. Because that one, from what I've heard, there's a little speculation. I won't ruin it for everybody. But it's not going to be starting there. It's not going to be like, hey, you know, minute one and, you know, 1 second, boom, there it is. They're all four there. I think there's going to be a little bit going on with that, but it's going to be essentially pretty much kind of sort of just at the end. Hopefully maybe the ending lasts 30 minutes or lasts, you know, 40 minutes would be great. Hopefully it's a good length of time. But yeah, from what I've read, potentially it's just at the ending that they bring in Supergirl and the crossover stuff. And then we have The Flash Tuesday. And it's going to be, I think at that point it's ramped up. It's all there. They're all together. And then leading into Arrow the following night, and then leading into Legends of Tomorrow to wrap it up. So, as I said, I'm excited for it. I cannot decide. I had a friend of mine and I were talking about it, and I mentioned with you about it as well, that, like, I don't know if I want to watch them all, like, as they come out, like, you know, Monday night, watch it live, Tuesday night, watch it live, Wednesday night, or if I want to wait to watch them all together, because it's, like, I'll skip the commercials, and I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Well, if you're going to watch them all three together, all four together, you're looking at a good solid 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah, because after the commercials, yeah. You know,
I don't have the time.
Yeah.
3 hours would be nice. But, you know, you always got people walking out of the room. You got the dogs that go outside, or the cat's jumping on you, or mailman's there.
My cats know not to jump on me when my show's on.
Yeah, that's somebody trying to take a nap.
Yeah.
Or that's me trying to take a nap. Never mind.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I may have to just watch them.
Okay.
I don't know yet.
Okay. Yeah. I'm undecided yet. We'll see what happens. I may just, you know what? I'm watching it. I don't care. And watch them all together. Or I might just, you know, watch them as they come out live. So we'll see what happens. Either way, it's going to be good. It's aliens and the superheroes. It's going to be great. So I won't go too much into it. There's a trailer up on YouTube if you want to see it.
Massive trailer.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So TV shows, that's it.
One more for me.
Go for it.
And I recorded it. I have not watched it yet. As you know, Doctor Who is over 50 years old.
Yeah.
And there are some lost episodes. These shows were shown on TV, and then the reels were destroyed, lost, damaged, melted, whatever. But there's audio that was saved. So BBC had on last week Doctor Who, I think it's Day of the Daleks or something.
Okay, yeah.
And it's kind of, it's the actual, the recording, the sounds, but they've done it in animation.
Ah.
Almost like black and white animation.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, kind I heard of a little bit comic about that.
It's almost like a comic book format.
Okay.
But I recorded, it's an hour and a half, I recorded episode one, so I'm looking forward to the rest of them coming out and watching them.
Yeah. And for you fans out there with TV shows, Walking Dead, we didn't forget about it. I just haven't got a chance to watch it yet, so we definitely know it's there, but I don't want to talk too much about it because I haven't seen the last two. Yeah, that's it for me. That's pretty much all I got. But one little thing, Iron Fist coming out in March. I'm excited for it. I actually bought one of the Volume 1 trade paperback. I talked about it the last time. I started reading it. I'm excited for it. It's kind of, I don't know if I'm going to get too much into it, like buying all the trade paperbacks and reading them all beforehand, but at least Volume 1, maybe we'll see what happens then. I cannot wait. I'm excited for that because that's going to lead into Defenders, which I think it's going to be next November when they're doing that one, the Defenders, but we'll see.
Something to consider as a collector, if you have the extra money, go back and track down their first appearances.
Ah, yeah.
Like Luke Cage's first appearance in Origin. Some of those are selling for like $500 right now.
Oh, goodness.
You know, the first...
It's a lot of spare cash. It is.
Things like, you know, we find Jessica Jones, maybe the first mention of Alias comics.
Mm-hmm.
Since we got the Defenders coming out, that might be something to set your sights on.
Yeah.
Defenders number one. Of course, the original Defenders didn't have Luke Cage.
Oh, no.
You know, it was, I think we talked about this before.
Yeah.
It was Doctor Strange, Hulk, Surfer, and Namor.
I believe so. Yeah, that sounds about right. They've had a lot of different roster changes, but.
I actually had that copy at one point.
Really?
Yeah, I've had this is probably my fourth set of comic books, my collections, and I've sold them over the years. I think at one point I actually had that one. I'm pretty sure I did. Back in the 80s.
Wow.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I've come and gone with Magic the Gathering cards. Like, I've collected a bunch of them, sold a bunch of, collected some, sold some. For me, I haven't dipped into the comic books yet. I feel like it's. I just keep building up the collection. I hopefully I don't ever have to sell them off. So,
I was 18.
This is what happens.
I was 18 and sold my comic book collection.
Yeah.
For a plane ticket to California.
Goodness. Yeah.
That was. Yeah. Anyway. You know, you're 18. You know everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ain't listening to mom. I'm out of here. Peace.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
And you call mom. Hey, I need a bus ticket back home. I need a bus ticket back to Ohio.
Yeah. Unless it's something like crazy like that, which I have no intention of going to California right now because that would be two plane tickets because I got to bring my wife. Mm-hmm. And that's probably more than my comic book collection. But like Kevin Smith, like he did that. He got all his money together as he could, got as much credit cards as he could, and he sold off his comic book collection at the time to start his first movie, and that's Clerks, and then it took off from there, and it was a huge hit, and I think by now he's probably made his money back from that. But yeah, so TV shows, that's all I got.
That's it for me, comic books or TV shows.
Yeah. But you mentioned Doctor Strange there. That's a good little segue into movies.
I did see the movie. I liked it a lot. I could see it again. Hey, don't be knocking down my Wolverine over there.
Yeah, Logan's going to kill me. Yeah. Yes, Doctor Strange. It was good. I liked it a lot as well. I wanted, as a comic book fan, I wanted more crossover stuff. Into, you know, not just at the end of the post credit stuff. I wanted like intertwine with throughout the story and mention names and people come into the movie. But
you know why they're not doing that? Because there's what, 30 or 40 different characters are going to be brought in for the Infinity Gauntlet storyline crossovers.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, come on, throw us a bone besides Thor. Somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. The spoiler alert, by the way. Yeah. Thor is in at the end. Yeah. It's something they make big. Yeah. I think they mentioned a comment about getting together or something like that, hanging out or something. But essentially, it's like a tip of the hat of the fact that Doctor Strange is going to be in the next Thor movie. So that's pretty much it. But yeah, it was a good movie. I liked it a lot. I seen a shirt and it made me laugh. Because in the movie, plenty of spoiler coming up. In the movie, there's a villain, the big villain of the entire thing, Dormammu.
I don't know how to pronounce
Dormammu, it. Dormammu, something like that. Yeah, Dormammu or something like that. And Doctor Strange creates this time loop. So if he dies, he goes back to life in the past 20 seconds or so. And everything around him, time, is in a loop as well. And so his line, he comes up to this big villain guy. He's like the celestial being in this alternate universe thing. And he's like, Dormammu, I've come to bargain. And he kills him. He's like, just zaps him. It's like a snap of his fingers and he's dead. Comes in again, Dormammu, I've come to bargain. And it's just over and over again. And the guy's confused, like, what's going on? And it was hilarious. I thought it was very clever. And it shows the cleverness and intellect level of Dr. Stephen Strange.
Yeah, so, I enjoyed it. It was an awesome movie.
Yeah. Funny, smart,
typical cool Marvel.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. Yeah.
And do we have Stan Lee was in it, wasn't he?
Yeah, yes, I think so. He had to have been. I can't remember how, but yeah,
we'll think of it.
Yeah, it'll come to us like next week or so. But yeah, he was in it. I'm sure, almost certain he was. The other part, like, was another villain. The villain she thought the whole movie was about, but it's not really him. He's a small scale villain. He gets into this room and Dr. Strange is there, and I think it was their first interaction. And he says, Mr. Strange, and he responds back. Stephen Strange responds back, no, it's Doctor. He's like, okay, Mr. Doctor. He's like, no, it's Strange. He's like, yes, it is. And it was just hilarious to see their interaction because his name's Dr. Stephen Strange, and a lot of times it's Dr. Strange. It was funny. You got to watch it. Great movie. Highly, highly recommend it.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you definitely need to go see it ASAP.
Yes. And speaking of magic things and things that are fantastic, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the Harry Potter kind of sort of prequel set in the past of the Harry Potter world. I think they said like 60 or 70 years or something before the Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Great movie. Again, fantastic. Yeah, good puns aplenty. But yeah, it was great. I wouldn't say I'm the biggest fan of Harry Potter. I definitely say that there are people way in line before me, because I've never read the books. I never have. I started reading the first one, and it kept talking about owls, and I was in fifth grade, mm-hmm. and I have ADD, and I just was like, nope, I'm done. I'm on to my wizards and swords and, you know, comic books. You know, I'm done with this. So, yeah.
I haven't read them either. I do have them on, like, books on digitally.
Okay.
Where I can listen to them.
Okay.
Yeah. I also have all the movies digitally, like on some hard drive someplace I can watch, but I have seen them all. I haven't listened to any of them.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've seen them all. I like them a lot. Yeah, I got them all as well digitally, and I've watched them, love them, seen them several different times. And actually, my wife doesn't know about this, so she'll find out after she listens to this, if she listens to this. But actually, she'll find out tomorrow. I ordered a scarf in the mail, my first scarf ever. And it's a Slytherin scarf, a replica in the show.
For you or for her?
It's for me. It's for me, yeah. But yeah, so I was like, you know what? We'll see what happens. I like it. It was $15. Upgraded for priority shipping, and it was supposed to ship Sunday, and it's not here yet. And the guy's like, oh, it shipped out, because I was like, hey, can you do FedEx? Like, it's about the same price as priority shipping, but FedEx is quicker from New York, because eBay listing says from New York. And then he's like, oh, it's already shipped out. And I'm like checking the upgrades. I'm like, okay, hey, can you give me some status? Like, what's going on with it? And then Monday, he finally responds back with a tracking number. And it's not even in the system at all. And so I keep checking it Tuesday. I keep checking it Tuesday. And then finally, like, Tuesday at, like, 11 something, it's, like, status unknown, just put in the system. And I'm like, what? So, yeah, I'm not the happiest with this eBay transaction. But it says it's supposed to be here. It's in Indy right now. Should be here tomorrow. So I'm excited for it. It's the first scarf I have. Hopefully she doesn't steal it from me and keep it, because she's also a fan of Harry Potter. But as you know, Slytherin isn't the bad guys, but a lot of people say it is. But it's not necessarily. They're just the competitive ones and whatnot. But so I digress. That was a huge digress. Sorry about that. So Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. You don't see any of the Hogwarts. You don't see none of that. There's a mention of it, which is pretty cool, because they're in America. In this movie, it's a setting in America. The timeline stuff is really bad. 1920s, 1930s or so, maybe. I don't know. It's set kind of around that time-ish, sort of. And maybe it's 40s. I don't know. But it was cool. They had cars, at least. I don't know my time at all. So yeah, it was pretty cool. He's got this briefcase, and it's like an alternate dimension, like TARDIS, where it's bigger on the inside, which is cool. No mention of TARDIS, though. They make remark of, oh, it's the best wizarding school. And he's like, then there, the human of the group is like, wait, there's a school for wizards? And the American's like, yes, such and such school is the best wizarding school ever. And the British character, Newt Scamander responded back, what, that? No, definitely Hogwarts by far. And it was just kind of like a nod of, hey, Hogwarts, sweet. And it was mentioned in the movie before. Great movie. Spoiler alert, John Depp is in at the very, very end. The villain is Colin Farrell the entire movie, and then all of a sudden the spell thing goes off, and he loses his illusion that he's had the entire time, and it's Johnny Depp. But it's also a big reveal that Johnny Depp's character is actually a big-time villain that I have no clue about, but if you're a Harry Potter fan bigger than me, you know about it already. So, big shock, big reveal. He's some big bad guy. Before Voldemort, to my knowledge. So, Fantastic Beasts, definitely go see it. It's awesome. Definitely rate A+, A- or so. So, that's all I got for movies.
I have nothing else.
All right, so gaming. As I mentioned before, a new game came out. Not the top-of-the-line head graphics, which you would expect, but Pokemon Sun and Moon. So, I got Pokemon Sun. I'll keep it short. It's great. I like it a lot. A lot of differences. A lot of similarities, though, because they bring in all these new guys from this Alola region. Brand new place where we've seen. It's been a while since we've seen a brand new region. And so this is kind of, as you could guess from the name, Alola. It's Hawaiian themed in a way. Very, you know, there's four, five different islands. And there's, it's the culture of Hawaiian culture as well. And there's Pokemon that are, you know, birds and toucans and Hawaiian like as well. So there's all kinds of culture. But there's also the first gen. I haven't seen any others yet that you can catch just in the game. They're all in there, so if you want to transfer them, whatever, you can still have them in the game. But yeah, they're not as prominent as the first gen, which is pretty cool, because I'm, like, walking around these new guys who I have no clue who the heck they are, new characters, new Pokemon. I'm like, nope, don't know who this guy is. And it's cool, because technology nowadays, because I got my DS, and I can have my cell phone next to me, and there's a Pokedex app, which is kind of cool. Wish I had it when I was a kid, but a Pokedex app right there. I had to go with a book that didn't come out for 6-7 months after the game. I could write my own Pokedex at that point, but there's an app that I had, and I just bring it up right there, Pokedex app. Hey, okay, this Pokemon, don't really care about it. It's not really powerful. Moving on. Then I see some old Pokemon that I recognize. And I'm like, hey, there's a Pinsir. I know him. Cool. And he doesn't evolve at all. And he's all right, but he's not the best and not the worst. Maybe I'll catch him. Yeah, I haven't beat it yet. It's fun. I am progressing pretty quickly through it, so I'm hoping it's a long game than what I'm suspecting. I would definitely, if you're a Pokemon fan, definitely would suggest it. And the other gaming that I've done most recently is the other Pokemon game, Pokemon Go. And it's on cell phones, and they have an event going on until the end of the month, which is pretty cool. Double experience, double Stardust, which you need to level up your guys. So if you haven't played it in a while, play it now, because anything and everything you catch is going to be double experience. And they released Ditto, but Ditto is not going to be seen like in the wild. You have to catch a Rattata or Pidgey or something, whatever, and it's going to be like randomly transformed into that, so you won't know until after you catch it. So you have to like catch everything you can, and then maybe potentially you can catch a Ditto, but you won't know it until after you actually catch them. That's my short and sweet about gaming.
I have nothing for games.
Yep, this is true.
There's some jokes I can make along the Pokemon names, but I'm gonna let it go.
Yeah. Yep, I suspect as much. But that's all I got for all the All Access Nerds goodies.
That's it for me, too.
All right. Well, as always, check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Gmail, allaccessnerds@gmail.com. And we're on Twitter, All Access Nerds. We're All Access Nerds everywhere. I think even Google Plus. So if you're still using the Google Pluses, plus us, plus we'll plus you, whatever. You know, it's just plusing everywhere. Yeah, it's good.
Is it Blueberry we're on now, or was it?
Yeah. Blueberry is another service that we're on as well. So Podomatic or Blueberry if you're there. And Google Play. We're pretty much anywhere and everywhere. If you find someplace we're not, let us know, please, and we will be there.
We will invade.
Yes, we will invade. Yes.
I know you're tired, so am I. Well, this is Nick for Ryan signing off. Go forth and do great things.